The epistle of Poynton for the second Sunday after Easter is taken from the first letter of St. Peter the Apostle. Dearly beloved, Christ also has suffered for us, for you, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly. Who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice. And by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The Gospel. It's taken from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is the end of today's Holy Gospel. The Gospel, my dear people, is supposed to speak very much to your heart. Whenever you read this passage, you must first of all remind yourself that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and he is equal to the Father and the Holy Ghost in all things. He is therefore infinite in power. He is totally limited in every attribute. And in union with the Father and the Holy Ghost, Jesus is totally self-sufficient and happy, and always was, although we don't refer to the Son as being Jesus until the incarnation. But the Son of God abode in union with the Father and the Son in infinite contentment, needing nothing. And, of course, being infinite, could never receive anything from any other source. Could never receive anything because the Holy Trinity is everything. It remains a great mystery to us, which we cannot fathom, that Almighty God created anything at all. And we know, of course, that he created the angels for his glory, in order that the angels might ornament heaven and fill heaven with their praises. And, of course, we know that Almighty God knew very well that the angels, a portion of them, would fall. And It was in anticipation, in expectation, in the knowledge of the fall of the angels that Almighty God conceived the great idea of creating men. Because, as you've always heard, the elect of the earth, those who will be saved through Christ's church, were created in order to take the place of the fallen angels. And we are assured by the saints that the elect is exactly equal to the number of the fallen angels. As I said, it is altogether incomprehensible to us that God would create anyone, since, as we know, and since the logic of his existence dictates that he needs nothing and can receive nothing from any of his creatures, except their praise. He does not need them to run errands for him, because he can do all things for himself. But he chooses to do this. And the explanation for this is that God is love, and love must express itself. So infinite is God, that is, so altogether wondrous is he, that it is inconceivable that his creatures can give him anything, no matter how many there are, either of angels or of men. In view of his infinitude, no matter what they give in the way of praise and thanks and love, it is very small. It is inconsequential, except that he is love, and he delights in being loved. As you know, when God created men, he also knew that they would fall, that even though he made Adam not to sin, he prepared Adam and Eve so that they would not sin, so that there would be very little likelihood of their sinning, so that it would be altogether unnecessary, unreasonable, and in no sense of the word expectable that they would sin. But it was also necessary that they be tested in order that their love be of some value to God. We need not remark that everything physical of creation, the stars, the planets, the earth, which, by the way, we don't call a planet, and all that is wondrous in the physical universe was created to be the habitat of man. In our society, this is not considered, but we must learn this. We must teach our children that the most important creature in the physical universe is man, and all that is in the physical universe is nothing but man's habitat. God chose, because he is love, and because he is the great artist, he chose to make it beautiful, to make it tremendous. Because he is a great scientist, he chose to make it a thing of most wonderful precision. And he filled it with all kinds of physical laws, which men think that they are very bright to discover and to use themselves. But the world, the universe, works because God is a great technician, a great mechanic, and a great inventor. God knew that men would fall, and he desired to manifest himself because of the great fall that he anticipated. And always, the explanation is because he is love, because that is his very nature, and love must give itself
And if he is the infinite God, he must love in a way that could not possibly be conceived, or expected, or deserved. And he manifested his love quintessentially through his passion and death, in which he gave himself totally up to suffering. He made himself the victim of our sins, the victim of his own love, and the victim of obedience, because sin is disobedience. All sin is disobedience, so that everything Jesus did while he was here was an act of obedience, even to the cross. And to manifest his great delight at his Son's most perfect service and humble obedience, God raised up his Son. We say that just because the Scripture says it, but we know what our Lord said also: I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again, which is the Easter mystery. Jesus rises from the dead, and he appears in such a fashion that he is undeniably himself. One of the charming aspects of our Lord's resurrected life is how familiarly he treats his disciples. And part of his familiar conduct with them is that no sooner does he appear to them than he begins to scold them. He scolds them because they are so dull at believing that he has risen from the dead. He does it as a loving friend and as a father. He scolds them as parents must scold their children, because parents have a right to expect that eventually they will do something right. Eventually, or occasionally, rarely, but really, they will obey. Not always, not even often. But finally, as I say, this is something that delights us to read. That, and it is something that we could never have imagined. No one could ever imagine that someone would rise from the dead and find it necessary to scold his followers for not believing, "I am here. How often do I have to tell you? What can I do to prove it?" As I say, to read this delights us. But it is not something that we could ever have imagined would happen until it did and was reported. And on this Sunday, the church gives us the words of our Lord, which he spoke, as far as we know, before his death and resurrection. The words which tell us of the intimacy which the Son of God wants to have with us. He says that those who are in his church are his sheep. And he uses this term because this is the term used by God in the Old Testament with regard to Israel. And it is a term of endearment, not of humiliation. It is a term whereby he wants to remind us of how dear we are to him. And we speak of it today to remind you of the fact that your Catholic life is supposed to be one of most intimate devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, our King, the confidant of our souls, the Savior, the one who truly loves us, the one who is our constant friend, the one who lives with us, who is in our heart. He says, I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Those words are altogether stupendous if we consider the mutual knowledge that the Father and the Son share. One has to enter into the mystery of the Trinity to think of the knowledge that the Father and the Son have of each other, because they are one being. They are the divine being. They are the divine substance. They are the infinite one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Their union is the Holy Spirit. And he says, I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Which is to say that when he says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying that I embrace my little sheep, and I catch them up into this divine life. I make them sharers in all that the Father and I share together. Our love, our union, and our happiness. When he says that I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep, it means he cares to know his little sheep more than they care to know him. The image of the sheep for ourselves is very good, because we know, if we have any acquaintance with sheep, what a ridiculous kind of creature they are. They don't seem to manifest much love. They don't seem to manifest much intelligence. Undoubtedly habit, because they somehow have survived. You know, that is one of the curiosities. Only, according to the evolutionists, only the fittest survive. Well, the sheep are the least fit of all. They can't do anything for themselves, and they're here providing sweaters for people. But we are to understand that the Lord Jesus wants this kind of intimacy with us. He wants us to live close to him. And we cannot do this unless we pray to him. Not only when we receive communion, but every day. This should be the first thing we do in the morning. We should kneel down and speak intimately to this, our Savior and our lover. He is surely the husband of our souls. And he lives for us. This is why he rose. As the introit of the Easter Mass says, I have risen, and I am still with thee. And that's what he said when he appeared to the 11 or the 10 and the others Easter Sunday evening. Peace be with you. It is I. Fear not.